Meeting of the Roma Municipal Utilities Commission to order on this Monday, August 14th, this morning. And I would start out with making sure that you have all the attendance in place.
Yes, I do. Yes, thank you.
Okay, and then I'll look for a resolution to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second. Okay, and discussion then would include any additions to the agenda. In this resolution, it would be approved. Minutes from our July 24th meeting. And then review and approve payment of bills, including the wire transfers in the amount of $1,305,041.51. Any questions on any of the bills that were in there?
Madam Chair, I have a quick question, just some clarification.
Commissioner.
The last page of the, sorry. I have a question, just clarification, what is this inactive refunds? You know, I didn't get, what does that mean? You know, is this a checks going back to the?
Yeah, that is just our refunds, like on customer accounts. If we, you know, applied their deposit, they've moved off the system and there's still a credit balance, we refund the difference to them.
So it was some sort of deposit or?
Some of them could be deposits or if somebody just had a credit on their account and they've, you know, moved off the system and we, you know, they still have a credit balance on their account, we owe them the money, so we refund it to them.
Because the reason I'm asking this question, maybe some people wasn't too clarified. I have some ladies coming with checks saying from the utility, so they don't understand why they're giving this check back.
Yeah, in most cases, it's probably a deposit that they paid and they moved off the system.
Okay.
And we applied their final bill and refunded them the difference, yeah.
Okay, thanks.
If there aren't any others,
Madam Chair, probably three additional bills that I'd like to point out. One is page 5, Braun Intertech Corporation coal handler exposure testing. We're going to see that a couple more times as we go forward here. But we have, by OSHA, we have to test the air quality of the air and the environment that our staff that they work in with handling coal as well as ash handling. And we are presently within today's standards, but the standards are being lowered starting next June. And we have to have two testing results that demonstrate that the air quality in those areas where our staff work meet or are below those new thresholds coming, or there's additional testing for our staff that we have to do ongoing. The test results that we have here, like I said, we meet the present standards. We had testing equipment on two of our individuals. One of them, the test results were underneath the threshold. The other one were slightly over. So we're looking at what we can change the process, and then we're going to be retesting, and we need to get two test results in a six-month period underneath that threshold. So be more to come on that. And then our annual payment to, on page 10, to Salvation Army and United Community, that's an annual payment, $4,000 each. Those funds we give to Salvation Army and United Community Action Group. Those dollars are used to help those individuals that aren't able to pay their bills. We send them over to these agencies, and we let the agencies work with those individuals in paying their bills. The dollars we invest there in those agencies are returned to us a couple fold over throughout the winter months. So.
Any other questions? I would ask then, Beth, that you take roll call on this resolution, please.
Certainly. Commissioner Magnuson?
Aye.
Palmer?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Mabul?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
Holtz?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Okay, then the Labor Committee met on July 24th. I wasn't there, so Nate took over, and if you could give us that report, Nate.
Thank you. Yes, the Labor Committee met on Monday, July 24th, called the meeting order at 12:02 p.m. General Manager Heron informed the committee of a recent discovery with our charges of summer commodity to our water customers. There were 5 billing cycles, which the winter rate was applied, which resulted in a significant reduction in revenue to the water department. There was a lot of discussion on this issue. There was a consensus of the committee to not contact our customers as a result of this. We have put in some specific things to have more checks and balances in place so this does not happen again. Some further discussion, we directed General Manager Heron to contact our labor attorney and request his input on recommendations related to this situation. Upon receipt of information supplied by the labor attorney, committee will be asked to readdress the matter and determine the best course of action. That was all we talked about in that committee meeting. And then we adjourned at 12:50 p.m.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Nate. Look for a motion to approve the minutes, please.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Any further discussion?
Madam Chair, I have a quick question. Just to understand what this means, you know, like the definition of the 5 cycles, is that 5 years or is it 5 months or how the one is implying to this?
It would have been 1 full month and then the first billing cycle of the following month. So, yeah, it would have been 5 billing cycles.
That means weeks, right? Then is it?
Yeah, we bill typically once a week.
Once a week.
So
okay.
Yeah, but it would have been 1 full month of charges and to customers, and then the first group would have had another one as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? All those in favor of a motion to approve the minutes, please signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes. Okay, then we'll go on to the review of the meeting that was held between utility staff and the city with several questions. And I would defer to John if you would give an overview of that.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. As Madam Chair indicated, utility staff, city staff met to go over a number of topics, number of issues for clarification, and to start dialogue on how we should address these issues between the city and the utility. The first one was the utility improvement charge. A little background on that. The utility, through the wastewater charges, we collect $4 there. That's referred to as utility improvement charge on utility billing. $4 are sent over to the city, and it started out as $2 back in 03, and 08 it was increased to $4. At that point in time, it was for water and wastewater replacement charges. However, those dollar amounts are now being used for more than just water and wastewater main replacements. So we're adding for clarification so that we can budget accordingly on our side, on the utility side. The discussion basically stems from our Y project, and we have some work, water main work, that needs to take place out there on the Y project, and some preliminary estimates have been completed. We're talking probably on one of the estimates, there's multiple scenarios or development plans that are being looked at or considered out there, but worst case scenario, we're talking in excess of probably $500,000. City's indicating those costs, even though it's water main replacement, that the utility would be responsible for those. So we're trying to develop an outline of what we're responsible for and what the city is picking up in those fees so that we can budget accordingly. We'll be further talking about that item with our planning committee and our budget process on how do we want to approach that, and then we'll reach out to the city to continue those discussions on those fees and charges. Second line item runs in with that. Through our discussion, it sort of indicated that their water main costs, that they would like us from a city staff level to be covering those fees. So we requested that they work with us and give us a 2 to 3 year window to accumulate some cash reserves to pay for those replacements. So more discussion to come. And then we talked about what kind of dollars should we be looking at. And they're not sure on their capital, their 10-year plan. However, they have a lot of history. They did share the history with us. Our water supervisor, Joel Bregelman's working with staff, and we actually took that data that they provided to us, put it in a spreadsheet so we could get a rough cost per year, as well as we're analyzing how many feet of main, based on life cycle costs, should we be budgeting in relation to what is being spent. And then we'll approach our budget in that manner. Number four, a comprehensive water management plan. A couple meetings back, we talked about the way forward with water, with our water treatment plant. How do we approach that? We have to update our treatment plants. We also talked about the chlorides or salty discharge issue, challenge that the city has on their side. How our water treatment plant and the wastewater treatment discharge, how they need to work together, how we need to work together, because there's only so much a city can do on the wastewater side, so our water treatment plant could potentially be part of that. We had their initial meeting with the city, as we indicated, so we asked them if they had any further discussion on their side. They really have not had any additional discussion. However, our meeting did lead to other ideas on how to meet the salty discharge limitations on the wastewater side. So presently, out of that discussion, we reached back out to Corolla, and we just received the initial scope of work this morning to expand their work, preliminary work, on what our options would be and costs associated with that. So once we have that scope of work fine-tuned and costs associated for doing that additional work by Corolla, we'll be meeting with the planning committee to further discuss that and if we want to do some additional preliminary engineering work to identify what the costs actually would be if we went straight to a water softening plant here. So more to come on that. Also, we talked about the rate increases and our rate study that was completed in 14, and that last year we did not implement the rate increases due to discussion with the city that they had their referendum on the ballot. They did not want a rate increase to jeopardize that referendum, and we held back on that. However, once we have our budgets completed, there more than likely will be consideration to electric and water fund increases again. So that was an FYI for the city so they knew what was coming there. Then we also talked about the intergovernmental transfer. Last year we also talked about with city staff and also through the budget process, do we pull the intergovernmental transfer fees out of our rates and line item on the bill for transparency purposes. However, being that we did not move forward with our rates, that discussion was not continued, so we'll be picking that up again as we look at our budgets. How does that affect our budgets and the need to do a rate increase if we pull the intergovernmental transfer out of our rates? With that said, our intergovernmental transfer is pushing twice what the national average is, so it warrants some discussion. Then also, last time we had a rate increase, we talked about changing some of our descriptions on the bill, both on the city side as well as on the utility side. However, descriptions are identified by charter or by their ordinance, so as we move forward this time, we're going to be looking at that as well and bringing some recommendations to the commission as well as the council for some changes, which will require an ordinance change or charter change that will coincide with our rate increase if we go down that path. Downtown street lighting, we also, that was an FYI for the city that, you know, our street lighting is pushing 40 years old. It's hard to get parts, and that we're going to need to do some updating down there. And as they have sidewalk projects or street projects, that we're notified of those projects so that we can be part of the planning, so that we can coordinate the updates or the replacement of the downtown lighting, depending on where those discussions go with the city and the downtown business owners. So. Number 10, distributed generation. There too, want to make sure the city was aware of the number of requests that we're having, basically for solar panels when we're talking about distributed generation, and if they have an ordinance that regulates or monitors the build-out of solar panels. I'm not sure where they're going to go with it, but we had a good discussion regarding the inquiries that we are receiving regarding homeowners and businesses' desire to build solar panels. Pull attachments on First Street. We've issued a number of permits for pole attachments throughout town, but a lot of them are going on First Street, which blocks traffic when they install, when they're working on them. We wanted to have a discussion with them and offer to change our policy if need be, that we can put some requirements in our policy when they can be working on Main Street so they don't block traffic. End of that discussion, ended with the city will monitor that as they already have right-of-way permits, and anybody that wants to block traffic on Main Street or First Street, that they need to go to the city and get a permit, and they will identify in that permitting process what hours that they can work on those poles. And then seasonal lighting, they talked about banners across First Street, and if they could hang them on our street lights. Two challenges that could potentially surface there is our street lighting is staggered on Main Street, so our poles are not across from one another, so if they decided to put banners across First Street, they would more than likely have to set a pole across from some of our lights wherever they wanted to. And the second is the banner loading on our lights, that the lights, banner loading was not taken into consideration when the lights were designed. So if the light poles are strong enough to carry the banner and the banner weight as well as the mounting to base, we would have to look at that. So we're waiting for the city to get back to us if they actually want to pursue that or not. And if they do, we're going to have to look at what those light poles are capable of holding. Next item was the Eagle Lake wastewater system and the Sunray water system. City's well aware of what's going on with Eagle Lake wastewater. They have an agreement that has either expired or is expiring shortly here, and there are negotiations there with options there. But Sunray also, we are aware that that is up for sale. The owners are trying to sell that. We want to make sure the city was aware of that, so that if there's opportunity or potential opportunity there through annexation, that that's taken into consideration as well through their discussions. And then a few other items that were added at the meeting was lighting on the bypasses on 2371. As we have a franchise agreement, and in our franchise agreement we provide all the lighting within the city limits, and they were questioning why they're still getting some bills from Candy High Power. And after staff spent some time investigating where Candy High Power provides, it's all outside of our territory, so the bills they're getting are legitimate, and they're from Candy High Power, and they're outside of our territory. And then the fire hydrants, we also got into a fire hydrant discussion at one time. The utilities took care of the fire hydrants. We charge the city a fee, as fire hydrants are for fire protection, which is a property tax cost typically. And the city felt they could take care of the fire hydrants cheaper than what the utility was charging them for. So discussion got back onto the fire hydrants. The city felt to some degree that they would like us to take them over again, and we talked about potential fees that would be associated with us taking over the fire hydrants. So I don't know if there's going to be more to come on the fire hydrants or not. But that was our meeting with city staff. Like I said, there was a number of issues that we want to initiate discussion on or continue discussion with city staff on, so we can move some of these forward, and if it's required to develop an MOU, memorandum of understanding between the city and the utility here, that we bring back forward to the commission as well as the council to concur with staff and to execute. So
this was for information on it. If there's any questions that anyone has of John, this time is pretty complete report in there. Appreciate that, John, and thank you to you and your staff. There's a lot of work that's being done and leadership that's being taken place. So, again, thank you to your staff for the work that's been done. And and working closely with the city, especially with our new administrator over there and stuff, that's a very good job done there as far as, you know, asking the questions, and because you have to work together with them as well as us. So going forward, anything that you want to comment on, Sean, at this time?
There's a lot of initiatives that probably should be having more frequent conversations than perhaps we have in the past, and I think it's good. It's encouraging. I think the acronym COW is terrible.
It really means computer on wheels. Don't get too.
I would also comment, though, if you do go in towards the charter changes, that you make sure you involve the charter commission on those.
Okay. Thank you again. And we'll go on to the strategic planning progress report, and Kevin will let you lead that one.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the commission, so you have, we see updated SWOT reports on the six categories as shown: the customer relations, facility, financial policies, operations, organization, and power supply. Within all those, they're broken down into the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And inside of each of those tabs are items or tasks to eliminate whatever, whether it's a weakness or an opportunity or a threat. So as you saw in those, the check boxes mean that they typically are being worked on, or they're scheduled to be worked on at that time period. One of the reports, the facilities report, we wanted to pull out and talk about separately. There's, you'll notice as you look through that, there was no activity to speak of to date. Most of those target completion dates were set based on the commission's vision in 2010 of having a facility in 2020. So as you look at those due dates on certain tasks in there, that's where those dates arrive from. We anticipate that we'll be assigning the tasks and populating following the budget and rate setting process here this fall or upcoming. Facility, find, you know, where that fits into that process. We'll be going back in there and working on that for the next year. The other five categories, everything is really kind of on task and on schedule within there. So I don't know if anybody had any individual questions as you reviewed those or needed clarification on anything. We'd be glad to help answer those.
Madam Chair, just not so much a question. I was looking at the customer relations tab, Kevin, and the one thing that, I mean, obviously it doesn't have to be a part of this particular analysis, but it gets back to our audio recordings for this particular meeting. And one, it's a customer relations piece that we haven't addressed in here. In the past, we have had audio, and then all of a sudden we don't have audio, and now we've got audio on the city website for just a few meetings. I don't know if this is a good time. I want to get back to a consistency with our broadcast, that we've got all the meetings out there for all of the city citizens to listen to. And somewhere along the line, I think we've kind of gotten away from that.
All of them should be posted. I know we have an exception for this last
week. So, Mary, if we can ask you to maybe come up to the podium, please. Thank you. Maybe Mary, probably Dan can provide some background on what the challenges are.
They should all be posted. We deliver them to Ross at the city, and he posts them. I know that with the exception of that last short meeting that I was going to bundle together with this package.
So. That would be great. And if it's a situation where maybe they aren't able to get to it on time, I've just noticed that not all of them are there. So however we get that done, and does it have to be hosted by the city, or can we not have
our website is not big enough to host. We can only, I think it was 150 megabytes or something. We've had this discussion before that we're not able to host it.
And I understand the limitations we have on our website. I want to see them out there. because I think that's important for our citizens to hear broadcast. And I, Mary, I apologize if they're all out there. I didn't see them all there.
Yeah, so. But they all should be out there with the exception of this, the most previous one,
okay.
Just because of the brevity of it. Yeah. So.
But you're right, over time, since we uploaded our new website, and as Mary indicated, our website isn't capable of handling our audio files. We've been relying on the city, but it's been pretty slow loading over there on the city side. In fact, Mary's had to follow up a number of times and ask when are the audios going to be loaded. But maybe we need to look at our website.
Typically, Mike will have them posted by tomorrow, and then I try and download them right away and get them to the city no later than Thursday is my rule. But then once they're in their hands.
Yeah, and we're relying on the city to update. I understand that. I just want to make sure that we don't lose sight of that.
Yeah.
So thank you. And I don't know where that fits in here, Kevin. You know, probably doesn't, but it's maybe more commentary on my part.
No, that's a good point. We can certainly look at that. Thank you, Mary.
Thanks, Mary.
Anybody else have questions on the remaining?
Okay, Herman, I do appreciate this here. It does take a little while looking back and forth, but having dates put with it and know a little bit more in detail on it. And the reports that are coming forward, the verbal as well. So if there's a question or just an additional comment that you want to make about something such as the facility, that's kind of in a holding pattern at this point. So again, thank you to staff again, John, that the work that's been done there is appreciated, and it can be and it's shared and that type of thing, so people do know we're trying to remain as transparent as we can with what's going forward.
Recognition once again to Michelle for her mastery of the elusive world of Microsoft Excel. Better at that than I am.
Okay, thank you. And we have our facilities tour coming up, and there was a little discussion on that. So again, I'll turn that over, probably over to you, Kevin. It looks like you're on board for that one as well.
Thank you again. So you have the proposed commission tour for the next meeting on the 28th. A couple of things to wrap up or iron out there. One question would be the scheduling preference that the commission would have, whether they would want to hold a meeting prior to the tour or after the tour. Discussing this morning, if you wanted to have the meeting first, we would look at what kind of start time, probably like around a 2:30 start time, and then we feel a half hour, 45 minute commission meeting that we would get going at outside about 3:15, and hopefully on the bus and rolling to the outside sites by 3:30. Or we could do it after the fact. That would be up to you guys.
Have you sent up to this point, have you sent out a request at all for people to comment on? Okay.
Madam Chair, yes. This request is coming from some of the commission members at our last meeting. There was asked if we can hold the tour or meeting first and a tour after the meeting. So that's what we're presenting it to the commission as a whole. What's the preference? And if it's the preference would be for us to send out a meeting invite, we definitely can do that if you want. If we start a tour at 3, meeting would be at 5. If we had the meeting after, and we wanted to have the meeting before, we'd probably meet, as Kevin indicated, 2:30. We're anticipating about a 45-minute meeting because the Planning Commission will be presenting our budget. So I would anticipate that'll take 20 minutes, half hour by itself. So that'll be the big agenda item for that meeting. So if it's the wishes, we will push out an invite to see what the majority, if they want to go like 2:30 or if they prefer to go at 5 with our meeting.
And is it enough time if we go out with that and get the request turned back in, and they'll just go with what the majority wants? That you have enough time to make preparations for it?
We do have the bus tentatively scheduled from 3 to 5, and I believe we could move that
a little bit. Okay.
Plus or minus without an issue. Sooner the better, of course. Tentatively, that's when the bus is scheduled for.
Okay, well, then it would be down. Any further discussion on this at this time? Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. John, as I look at the schedule and the different facilities that we'd be looking at touring and the time and all the constraints there, I'm wondering if possibly striking number 4 for Priam would make sense. You know, it's mostly just a plot of land to look at currently. I think we can have discussion about it, but I would imagine with drive time and a little time out there, we're looking at 15, at least 15 minutes or so.
Yeah. Commissioner Manner, no, good question. And that's why we presented it to the commission. If there's anything that you know, the commission would like us to eliminate, we sure can, or something to add. I wasn't sure if everybody around the commission is aware of our Priam substation site. So that's why we thought, being that we're starting construction on it, if not everybody's aware, we would just run out there and run back so that everybody knows where the site is. But we definitely can eliminate it from the route if everybody is aware of where it is, or if you would just prefer that we point it out to you on the map. We can do that as well if you're not knowledgeable of the area.
Madam Chair, John, is this pretty close to the same schedule we took last time?
Not a whole lot different.
Yeah.
No.
And we were able to complete that within 2 hours. And it was insightful. I would recommend that if you can do this, make sure you do it. I will not be here. I've got a conflict from 4 to 6 that day. But it was really insightful to see some of the facilities, go to the water station, do all that. And if you have time, just even so people can identify where the Priam substation is, if it's not too, it's not that terribly far away.
Oh, especially when you're out by the Wilmer substation already.
Right.
What we're hoping to do, just give you a high-level view of what we're anticipating here. The first, number 2, 3, 4, 5... 6, actually, almost the whole tour, we don't plan on getting off the bus. We're going to drive by, point out the Wilmer substation, what's going to be moved over to the Priam substation, and then the Priam substation is a site, as we just talked about. Number 2, I missed the Northeast Water Treatment Plant. That's our first water treatment plant improvement updates. We just want to make sure that the commission knows where that water treatment plant is and the acreage that we have there. So as we're talking about, you know, expansion, that everybody, you know, has a good visual of the property that we own there. So most of what we have here, we don't plan on getting off the bus for. Last year we got off the bus to tour the water treatment plants. We didn't feel it was necessary again, but if it's the wishes of the commission, as Commissioner Holtz indicated, you know, it's very insightful to see the insight, we definitely can stop and get off the bus.
And again, too, for new folks, that, you know, you're welcome to ask to just have an individual tour too. If we did the drive-by touring with it, and again with all the discussion that we've had regarding the power plant that's ongoing, I think that would be very, very informative to, you know, kind of point out things specifically what's going on with each one of those, and we can kind of identify with it in detail.
The power plant would be a tour of the power plant. The commission mm-hmm. requested a tour of it, and that's what we're setting up there.
Yeah, that would be good. Well, if I believe going with just a quick email for schedules of people, again, go with the majority.
I can do that. That's not a problem.
And sticking with the facility list that's here, as long as it's drive-by, should, you know, that should narrow it down and allows for everyone, new folks, to see it as well and go forward with it at that time.
Madam Chair, does that include leaving the Priam substation on, or does everybody know where the Priam substation site is that we're talking about?
Well, there's some work going on in there. It might not hurt to see it again, because again, questions come back to people that, you know, well, where is this? What's that about? It can be pointed out to customers as well, I guess, if we were familiar with it.
Okay, unless we're here otherwise, we'll leave it as part of the tour. Thank you.
Okay. All right, and then we'll go on to the financial reports. Denise.
Thank you. The financial reports for each division are included, electric, water, and heating. I'll just briefly go over the totals on the combined statement. Year-to-date, compared to budget, revenue, we're a little bit below budget. On the expense side, we're also a little bit below budget, so we're in net, we are $392,000 ahead of budget. Comparing that to last year and this year at this point in time in the year, we're about $530,000 further ahead on revenue than we were last year. Expenses, they're also higher, about $279,000. So in net, we're approximately $250,000 ahead of last year at this point in the year. Any questions on any of the financial statements?
Just that, and I appreciate the footnotes, and again, that's divided equally between 12, and it may not, you know, go exactly accordingly, but at least you have something off the budget, so we don't get too excited when we're too high or too low in any one of those months. any questions from staff on any one of those comparisons? Okay, then we'll go to the power supply reports. Thank you, Denise, by the way. Thank you.
All right, good afternoon. Looking at the power supply comparison report between May of 2016 and 2017, we have May's power supply cost was $48.73 per megawatt hour. That is a 4.9% decrease from last year. The transmission costs in 2017 were about $126,000 lower than in 2016. However, in 2016, there were adjustments to transmission from MISO, so that caused an unusually high cost. Looking back at 2015 and 14, the number we see for 2017 for transmission cost is in line with a typical May amount. Capacity costs in 2017 were just under $51,000, less than in 2016. The total purchases, what we actually purchased from our contracts, was $142,657.65, less in 2017 than in 2016. Boiler 3 also came back online on May 25th after its annual overhaul, which began on April 10th. Any questions on that part? Okay, so looking at the bottom of the page, the budget versus the actual bar graph, May's actuals were 0.2% below the budget for May, so we're right up next to it. Looking at the next page, the real-time LMP averages in May were $23.61. That is $7.69 higher than 2016. The day-ahead LMPs were $23.78, which is $6.38 higher than last year. And the gas prices in May were $4.09 a decatherm. In June, it was $4.19 a decatherm, and July is at $4 a decatherm. That finishes May. Then we also have June. So looking up, on the power supply comparison graph between June 2016 and 17, June's power supply cost was $53.60 per megawatt hour, which is 13.7% higher than last year. The transmission costs in 2017 were $84,904 higher than in 2016. And again, transmission in 2016 was unusually low at $55,163.80. The transmission costs are historically between $100,000 and $275,000. Total purchases were $73,899.58, more in 2017 than in 2016. The overall costs from MISO were $17.75 in 2017 compared to $14.53 in 2016. We also purchased more from WIPI this year than we did in 2016, so there were additional costs for that. Generation costs were $41,428.44 higher in 2017 than in 2016. Because Boiler 3 generated approximately 1,067 megawatts more this year than it did last year. So again, a little higher cost for the generation as well. Questions on that? Okay, on the bottom of that page, the June actuals were 7.8% below the budget for June. Looking at the next page, the real-time averages in June were $21.60, which is 37 cents lower than in 2016. The day-ahead LMPs, however, were $22.93, and that is $1.67 higher than last year. The gas prices in June, again, were $4.19 a decatherm. July was at $4 a decatherm, and August is at $3.96 a decatherm. And finally, to note, we had the load share program successfully implemented on July 17th for 4 hours due to forecasted high heat index resulting in the higher forecasted. Questions on all of that?
I don't believe so. Any other? Thanks. Thank you, Michelle. Appreciate that. Just keeping up all the graphs here. Okay, and then the next item is the wind turbine report, and Jim, you're up for that.
Thanks, Madam Chair. July production was very similar to the past years. Unfortunately, towards the end of the month, we ran into some trouble on both turbines. We've had a pretty strong year. It looks like it was all the way back in July of 2016 when we had availability percentages below 70%. So again, we hit that with number three. Folkadal did send out an email to the stakeholders there and explained that there was a problem with the control system. There were some corrupt files, and they just got replaced and restarted it and got it up and running again. Number four had a more severe problem. There was an electrical contactor that failed closed, which meant the hydraulic pump unit pump continuously ran and caused some overheating problems, which broke some equipment. So we've got parts on order for that. When they arrive, we'll get it in place and repaired. But I wouldn't expect that probably even this week. It's going to be a big fix on that. You may have also noticed that number three, or the north turbine, shut down this weekend too. We had some bad underground on the circuit that feeds that up by the Civic Center, and that caused our circuit to reclose, and the turbine didn't snap out of that, so our crews were up there today working to restart that, and I would expect that to come back online today or tomorrow. Any questions on the wind turbines?
Any questions? I always find when I drive through Minnesota and into Iowa and down that way, when you see these farms, all these turbines, and the things I look at, fortunately I haven't had an accident, that's right, is how many are going and how many aren't. I'm wondering, who's doing the maintenance on all these things, knowing what our two turbines cause as far as maintenance going on? It's always interesting to hear from that, if maintenance is needed. So thank you, Jaron. I appreciate the report and keeping us up to date when things are happening as well, because again, we get calls and saying what's going on, you know, with it. So appreciate that.
Thank you.
Okay, and then we'll move on to as far as current terms and discussing that. Maybe John, if you just give us an update on that, please.
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair. Being over past mid-year, fall's coming soon, and appointments to committees will be taking place again by the mayor. So every year we have at least two, if not three, commission seats up for reappointment. So we want to make everyone aware whose terms are up and ask that if anybody's considering not submitting their request to the commission for reappointment, that they let Carol or myself know so that we can start discussing and making recommendations to the mayor for consideration for new appointments. So, and the two seats that are up is our president, Carol Lamar, and Commissioner Nate Weber.
Okay. All right, and Nate and I will take care of that.
Okay.
Thank you. All right, and then we'll go on to the general manager's report, please.
All right, thank you, Madam Chair. Unless there's additional questions, so it's listed, what you have in front of you would conclude my report.
The only thing, I guess, in the report is I'll do the recap of my policymakers.
You're on there. I said you're on.
Yeah.
if you want to give your recap, absolutely.
Yeah. There were no other questions on the term limits, and just to recap of, I attended the Policymakers Council out in Washington, D.C. on the 17th to the 19th. Our topics were pretty much similar to what we hear from both of our associations is the tax-exempt municipal bonds, and that still continues to be a very hot item, especially now where it's transitioning, or they feel they'll be put into somewhere in the tax reform. So again, it's an item that needs to be closely watched as we go forward, because when we go to all of the offices to discuss it with our congressional delegation, they're all, you know, supportive of it, because it not only affects utilities, you know, affects your city bonds, that type of thing, you know, for the hospital and within the community like that, that it is a very important to the community that those stay in place. But having been around with the Congress in the past, today they may agree, tomorrow they may not. So again, it's keeping abreast of that in touch with them, and if your paths cross with any of them, to make sure that you identify that we want those to stay just as they are until proven otherwise. And then we talked about the federal power program as far as where they're looking to sell off the assets of that, of those like the WAPA, and there's two other ones, I don't have those written down, but that where they're looking to sell that off, and that would be detrimental as well, because those prices could certainly go up with that happening. Most time, you know, you say that private is better than government owning, but this is a situation where it's better that it stays under the federal power program as it is at this time. And then when we were in Congressman Peterson's office, did talk a little bit about the salty chloride discharge issue that's coming up that we're addressing here, they did recommend forwarding that information on to John as well, sent an email, that if there's a possibility of any grants along the way with this happening, that they do have a person on staff that works specifically with that, so that we would have a name of someone to be in touch with to help the cost, to help with the cost of that. And then I will just do a quick show, so you can start it down at that end and pass it around. Just again, proof, you know, it's always, you got to have a picture of what you've been doing, so it proves that I was in Congressional Peterson's office. Even though we didn't see the congressman himself, Zach is very knowledgeable, and that's one thing I must say, that in all the offices we attended, that the staff really are quite aware of the utility issues, so that is helpful for us. And we would like to acknowledge that with our leadership here, that with our poll attachments, we do have an agreement, and so that we're going along and having something in place across the country. Many utilities do not have anything in place, and they're really having a tough time in how to do it, and lots of lawsuits going on and that type of thing. So we're fortunate to have that agreement in place. You know, we've got to continue to look what's happening with the seasonal lighting, and some of that's a little bit different, but as far as the pole attachments. So that was what happened at that time. Nothing else too much as far as them. Many of them having issues with, you know, that they would ask of the utilities. They are very supportive of this industry. Okay, with that, then John, everything else is on there that's coming up. Everyone can see for it and see what's going on. And if there's no other questions that come before this commission, comments, going once, going twice, going three times, I adjourn. I adjourn this meeting.
Thank you, everyone.